Your hands, all you people. Show some love to these folks. Praise God. The kingdom of God is the most marvelous place. And when we come together, there ought to be a celebration. If you hadn't already discovered it, it's way too late in the dispensation to have dull, dead, dry, boring church. If you're having that, I just want to tell you, you've got an empty cup. You need to come to Him tonight and let Him be in you a river of living water. It's not just a book. It ought to be joy unspeakable, full of glory. It ought to be strong enough that you can get up every morning with David and say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice." My God, it doesn't matter what kind of day it's going to be. We say that in advance. I love Pastor Gary Ellis. I am glad to be a friend of his, and I'm glad to be a brother in the kingdom of God with him. Glad for the revival in Clarksville. I'm glad there's an epicenter of a shaking of revival. Praise God. I'm glad that when he comes to this house, he feels the liberty to put on his pastor shoes and tell us what the Holy Ghost has said. Well, praise God. I appreciate Brother and Sister Ellis, their testimony, their household, the church they pastor. I'm amazed at what God does with humanity. I'm amazed at what God does by His grace. I appreciate the word on grace this morning. Wasn't that an awesome word in the house today? Praise God. We thank God for the two that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. Praise God. And I want Him to come tonight, and I want Him to take His liberty, and I want Him to tell us what's on His heart. And I want you to lift your hand toward Him right now and just say, "Preach to me. Tell me what God has said." Now, you give Him license and you give Him liberty. So when He speaks the word, you've got to resound with an amen. You've got to appropriate that word and say, "It belongs to me." Come on, Brother Ellis, and take your liberty. We love you tonight.
Come on, let's clap our hands and praise the name of the Lord together. Make a lot of noise for Jesus tonight. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful atmosphere of worship and praise. This is a season. We're in a generation where we must make up our minds that it will never, ever, ever again be just church as usual. I believe it is the church as usual mentality that has helped to facilitate the decline of our society. Church folk go to church, leave well churched, but never changed. And therefore, they have no power to impact the world around them. I think folk need to be able to look at you and offer you the testimony of Paul. Those folks are fools for Christ. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. I heard a man tell me one time, and of course, I like this kind of wild, crazy church. I do. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't grow up on pews, didn't cut my teeth in on pews. I was a heathen. Amen. Most of you were just the same as I was. Amen. And And I had somebody tell me, said, brother, it don't take all that. And he's right, absolutely, it doesn't take all of that. It doesn't take painting your face blue to be a sports fan, but they do it. Somebody say amen. Can somebody say amen? In fact, it don't even take going to the stadium to like the game, but they pay for it. If it don't take all of that, and they just do it because they love it. Every year, there's a group of people that spend thousands of dollars and travel thousands of miles to go to Memphis to commemorate the death of Elvis Presley. They call them fans. Nobody gets into the media and newspapers, magazines, radios, and television and say they got to be the dumbest people I've ever seen in my life. Some of them probably on welfare. Y'all ain't hear what I'm talking about. But then when we commemorate the resurrection, of Jesus Christ, not just once a year, but we have resurrection power every single waking moment of our life. We ought to shout, we ought to dance, we ought to worship. And they don't have to call me a fan because I'm not doing this for what they say. Oh, I wish I had somebody saying amen to me. I worship him because he's God. And I love him. Thank God for Pastor and Sister Sutton. It's a wonderful church family at New Life. The hospitality that we've enjoyed and the family atmosphere that is here. Hallelujah. I find it amazing that Christians address each other as brother and sister and treat each other so much like simply associates. Doesn't take much for church folk to leave each other alone. It's good to be in a church where we realize the human frailties of one another and appreciate the weaknesses of one another, but are willing to compliment it one another rather than to compete and condemn each other. I know I'm not in a room full of perfect people. I know I'm in a room full of people who are just as flawed and fragile as I am. But I'm so glad we've come together to say, I'm not here to point out your weaknesses. We're here to draw from his strength. So when we walk out into that world, we can say that God has been good to his people. Can somebody say amen? And again, thank God for all of those who are here visiting. We appreciate you. And this church welcomes you. And I know it does. Amen. Amen. If you will remain standing with me, the hour is now, and I will only be about, praise the Lord. To the book of Luke, chapter 17. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Isn't God good? Luke, chapter 17, and verse number 1. And the word of the Lord reads, then he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. The word offend, by the way, in this text does not mean to cause to be upset. The word offend here means cause to go back. Can you say amen? That he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Notice where this request is located in this dialogue. If thy brother offend thee seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you, say, I'm sorry. Rebuke him. He didn't say just let it slide. Somebody say amen. Rebuke him. And then he said, if he repent, forgive him. And the apostles realizing what Jesus just said, he said, Lord, increase our... Look at your neighbors. You know that's right. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I want to preach this thought from that request of the apostles. Increase our faith. But I want to give it a subtopic. It's not about me. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's not about me. Put your Bibles down and clap your hands and praise the name of the Lord. Come on, let's just get real noisy for Jesus for just a moment. Hallelujah. Let's praise him with your voices. Thank him for his word. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word, your living word, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, increase my faith. The Bible said Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said that it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Impossible. One translation says that it is impossible, it's impossible not to expect things to happen that will cause you to lose your faith. There's this reality that as disciples of the Lord, you will encounter difficulties so painful and so difficult, it may cause you to lose your faith. And Jesus said, it's impossible to expect anything else. Those of us who have entered into this Christian walk with the expectancy that things ought to be easy as a condition of your continuation in this faith, I'm making a terrible assessment as to what Jesus really did promise us. Can you say amen? Amen. He never said that when you get saved, all of a sudden things would become easier. He said it's impossible to expect anything other than the fact that there will be things that happen to you that could cause you to lose your faith. Can you say amen? Amen. But I think something else is important to realize here. He also points out that this kind of testing of your faith would often come through people. Now, the complaint that you hear most in the church and the complaint you hear most who refuse to receive Jesus and enter into the family of the church is their complaint that somebody did something that they should not have done and caused them to not believe. How do you expect me to follow Jesus and those who say they do act like this? That's why Jesus gave the parable of the tares and the wheat. He said a good man sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Somebody say tares among the wheat. And they begin to grow up. And you know, at a certain time, tare and wheat look just alike. You can't tell the difference until it's too late. By the time the tares and the wheat grow to such a point that you know that it's a tare there, the roots have already begun to intermingle. And the disciples said, "Shall we go and tear up all the tares?" And Jesus said, "No, you can't do that now. Because if you try to tear up some of the tare, you might also tear up some wheat. So what you need to do is just wait for the harvest to come. Because when the harvest comes, the great reaper will separate the tares from the wheat. Don't you walk away from God because you might be sitting next to some weed. Just wait till that great day comes. God will do the separating. Can you say amen? But it's important to realize that God expects us to suffer difficulty. And he expects us to deal with the disappointment that comes from dealing with people. See, the greatest test of your Christianity, it's not whether you can move mountains, get folk out of wheelchairs, prophesy a Rolex. Greatest test of your Christianity is, can you carry a cross? Because to be a Christian means to be like him and to imitate him. Can you say amen? Can you die to you? It takes a whole lot of faith to keep loving God when there's absolutely no physical reason why. It takes a whole lot to keep on praising God when there's no natural emotional reason why. When all you face is disappointment, heartache, and heartbreak, it takes a whole lot of faith to keep loving folk that won't love you back, keep reaching for folk that won't reach back in return. It takes a whole lot of faith. So when Jesus told his disciples, "If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him." Now, I want to tell you something. I don't believe that Jesus teaches or even appreciates a passive, weak, anemic Christianity. And I think perhaps that's why some folk don't get into it, because we've taught it all wrong. We've taught that you got to be almost a sissy to be a Christian. I wish I had somebody saying amen to me. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, Jesus said, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." That word zeal in the Greek literally means indignation. It is not unchristian to be angry about the right thing. Can you say amen? It is a very God-given emotion. And there are some things God expects us to be angry about and some things he expects us to respond to. And listen, this thing that Jesus is this sweet little beach boy with hanging on some popsicle sticks with a razor blade strip on the side. Come on. Come on. Oh, no, baby. He was a carpenter. Come on. Yes. And in those days, carpenters didn't use electric saws and 2x4s. I can almost imagine Jesus was buff big time. You know what I'm saying? And one day he was on his way to church. And as he got into the lobby of the church, there he saw a whole lot of folk in church treating the church like it was someplace other than the church. Can you understand what I'm saying? Jesus did not run out of the door and go to the neighborhood bookstore looking for a good Bible study on how to treat the church. Hey, come on, come on, come on. And he did not walk up to them with some little mealy mouse attitude. Excuse me, sir, I don't want to offend you because we don't want to run you off. But please, you know, could you just... No! What kind of show you think Jesus was trying to run? Let me tell you what he did. He walked in and saw what they were doing to his father's house. He walked in and saw how they were treating his father's house. Give your neighbor a high five. Said, this is my daddy's house. You just can't treat my daddy's house any kind of way. You can't just act like you want to act in my father's house. You can't talk like you want to talk in my father's house. He walked out and made him a scourge. Now, a scourge was not a necktie. It was not a silk belt. It was the same thing they used on him. It was meant to bring havoc and hurt. He came back in kicking over tables and spanking folk. I wish I had somebody saying amen. There are times when you as a child of God has got to be godly confrontational. You just can't sit back and take everything that goes on. Sometimes God expects righteous. God expects righteous indignation. And one of the reasons why we get bitter is because we don't correct people properly when they do wrong. If thy brother offend him, rebuke him. Then say, pick up the phone and call three or four of your friends. You know what he said? That's how sissies act. Real men and real women look at their brother eyeball to eyeball and say, can we talk about this? Come on, somebody, say amen. Can we talk about this? Can we discuss this like brothers in the Lord? Can we discuss this like children of God who occupy the same house, who have the same father, who share the same mercy? Because see what we do, you got to be careful, because what you say out of your mouth can contaminate your spirit. And rather than going to a brother or a sister in the Lord and talking to them and let healing take place, we start talking about it in the most negative form, and we contaminate our heart and we get filled with bitterness and anger and strife, and we wound up leaving God because of what people have done. Before you know it, we're out of church. We're angry at everything. That's why the Bible says, if thy brother offend thee seven times in a day. Tell your neighbor, that's a whole lot of offenses. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to keep looking at the same person, making the same mistakes, doing the same thing to you over and over again. And they come back and repent. Are you hear what I'm saying? And you just let them go. Tell somebody, let them go. But you got to understand that growth is a process. Not everybody was raised in a good house. Not everybody has good etiquette and ethics. Not everybody was trained in good protocol. There are some folk who just don't know no better. There are reasons why people offend us. And not everybody who offends us is malicious. I wish I had some real Christians in here today. Not everybody who offends us is malicious. Not every situation came out of malice. Now, you might have been raised in a good home where folk taught you, please, thank you, I'm sorry, move out the way, excuse me. But you might be dealing, when this time I say the church, the Bible said preach the gospel to every creature. Not just folk brought up in a good home. Not just folk who were raised in a good neighborhood. Not just folk with great table manners. That's what's wrong with Christianity right now. I'm so glad you got a man like Barry Sutton who's going into the highways and the hedges and the lanes of the city and the alleyways. I'm getting tired of these suburbanites who all they want to do is go out there and reach the well-to-do. And those who already got it together, there's got to be somebody that loves the lame, the halt, the maimed, and the blind. Somebody! Now, you got to understand, there's a reason why people offend you. One reason is out of ignorance. See, some of y'all know, but some of y'all don't. Let me help you. See, there are some folk brought up in neighborhoods where it was all about survival. They didn't learn how to trust anybody. Because trusting somebody could have cost them all they had. To include their life, their safety, their family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And walking into the church one day don't change all of that. And they were raised up in neighborhoods where retaliation was the only escape from being abused. And you always had to present on the outset a show of force. To keep folk off of you, you had to build a rep first. See, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So when they come to God, they come into church carrying that old luggage. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to protect themselves. But if you're so hooked on you, you cannot help them. If you're so concerned about how you feel, you cannot give them. Oh, Jesus. Man, I grew up in a neighborhood when I was a kid. Man, people would beat you up just so they could get a name. Are you not hearing what I'm saying? You could just be in the wrong place at the wrong time and somebody jump on your head just because they're trying to get a name. So in order for you to keep them from getting a name on you, you had to look at them in the eye, and if they looked threatening, you had to take the first lick. I think I'm losing some. So when they come into the church, they come in and look like they got an attitude. They act like they can't talk to nobody. You say something to them, and they say something sharp right back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And rather than giving them the old good old brother, can we talk about this? Let me share something with you. Rebuke them. And if they say, I'm sorry, forgive them. Y'all, you hear what I'm saying? We're so hooked on ourselves. We're so bruised and wounded by what somebody's ignorance has done. We cannot exhibit the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Lord, increase my faith, because it's not about me. Some people hurt you because they themselves are hurt. It's hard to get close to a young lady who trusted somebody and they molested her. But she can't tell nobody because of the shame she bears. And here you are trying to reach out to her. She just rejects you because of her hurt. You're so hooked on yourself, you can't see there's something else there. Oh, I need some help with this, Brother Sutton. Some young man, and let me tell you something, brother, molestation and rape ain't just happening to girls. I hope this ain't too raw for you. And people are growing up with this thing, and they're standoffish, and they're pushing you away, and they're saying things that hurt you and prove that they don't trust you. Can you say amen? and you think it's about them and you. When they've got some scars in their life that require deliverance, they need healing. They need breaking through. They need coming out. They, come on. And rather than trying to see through the window of their hurt, you're worried about what offended you. There's many reasons why people get offended. And when Jesus was telling them, when your brother forgives you, rebuke him. And if he asks forgiveness, forgive him, forgive him, forgive him. And they said, Lord, increase our faith. It takes faith. It takes a certain dimension of faith to deal with difficulty. Somebody say amen. And listen, you yourself go through circumstances that if you are hooked on you and not the will of God for you, it is easy for your faith to be diminished or destroyed. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. They are going to come. There are going to come challenges in your life that could cause you to lose your faith. Jesus made several statements throughout his ministry concerning faith. And he classified them or identified faith in several categories or several dimensions. He talked about little faith. I call it fragile faith. He talked about no faith. I called it failed faith. He talked about slow faith. I call it foolish faith. He talked about dying faith. I called it fatal faith. And he talked about great faith. I call it fighting faith. Tell your neighbor, I got fighting faith. In Matthew 14, the Bible says straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. Give me just a few minutes. I'm going to close in just a second. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Say, go before him. How many know sometimes the Lord will send you to do something and won't let you feel his presence next to you? Because some of us think we got to always feel him to obey him. I wish I had a witness here. So when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But now the ship that he sent his disciples on, in the midst of the sea, was tossed with waves, for the winds were contrary. Now he sent his disciples and did not go with them. Don't you know he knew what was going to happen? Tell your neighbor, it was a setup. Sometimes God will send you into the middle of a mess so that he can get a message through. We are so used to being pampered and cuddled and comforted that we absolutely accept no responsibility for the call of God in our life. God has called you to greatness, and he has to develop in you great faith. The Bible said it was the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went under them walking on the water in the fourth watch. In ancient Jews, they divided the night into three watches. There were 4 hours each. The first watch, the second watch, the third, and the fourth watch, however, was not mentioned in the Old Testament. It was like this. The first watch began at 6 o'clock in the evening and continued till 9. The second watch began at 9 and continued till 12. And the third watch began at 12 and continued till 3 in the morning. Now, the fourth watch was not mentioned in the Old Testament. It was actually established by the Romans. But the fourth watch began at 3 in the morning and continued until 6. It was between the hours of 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. When Jesus sent his disciples out on the water, it was already dark and late. And he sent them out, and there came a storm between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The storm was so bad that the Bible says that the waves were tossing the ship. And it was there in that dark time, just before the dawn, that the master came walking on the sea. Tell your neighbor, the darkness just before the dawn. Just when you think it's over, that's when he shows up. Just when you think you've had all you can take, that's when he appears. Just when it looked like there's no hope, that's when Jesus arrives. Woo! They saw him walking on the sea. Somebody say, walking on the sea. But the Bible said they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Pay real attention to what Jesus is saying here now. See, they would have thought nothing of it if he were in another boat. They would not have been afraid at all if he were in another boat. If he came up and hollered at them from another boat, they wouldn't have bothered them at all. But because he came in the supernatural, it made them afraid. Somebody say the supernatural. Because he came demonstrating the supernatural, it frightened them. Hey, they thought the supernatural had to be something evil. Hear me when I tell you this. Jesus puts you in situations where the natural cannot deliver you. He puts you there just so the supernatural can be demonstrated. Oh, I need somebody saying amen. The sickness you got, the disease you got, the marriage that's broken down, the children that's gone astray, is just so that Jesus can demonstrate. But they got afraid of the supernatural. And isn't it strange how Christians, how church people get scared when the supernatural shows up? But they've been looking at Amityville Horror and all these other goofy horror movies, The Exorcist, and they believe the devil's real. Sleeping with the lights on because the devil's real. Scared to pray for somebody that's got a demon because the devil's real. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? And then when the Holy Ghost shows up, baby, it's supposed to be real and it's supposed to be powerful. It's supposed. Give somebody a high five and say, show up, Jesus. Show up. Because when Jesus shows up, he shows out. Straightway, say straightway. Straightway. He said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, just tell me to come to thee on the water. Somebody say, I just need a word. Lord, now I don't want to step out in my flesh because I might get myself messed up. But if it's you, just send me a word and I'll step out into anything if you tell me it's you. Somebody say, all I need is a word. Come on, say, I need a word. Because too many folk need too much convincing. And you don't need all the facts when you got faith. You don't need all the answers when you got faith. All you need is a word. Give somebody a high five. Say, I need a word. I need a word. Just a word would get me my miracle. Just a word would get me my ministry. Just a word would get me straightened out. Just a word. Shake somebody's hand, three or four people's hands. Just a word, just a word, just a word. If you can send a word, I'll step out on your promises. Just a word, just a word, just a word. Tell somebody, just a word. Tell them, sister, you just need a word. Brother, you just need a word. Stop fretting. Stop being afraid. You need a word. Stop being scared. You need a word. Stop giving up. You just need a word. Say yes. Now, when Peter was come down out of the ship, say, come down out of the ship. He walked on the water. Shake somebody's hand and say, let go of the boat. When Jesus sends you a word, let go of the boat. You cannot walk in your false security and in faith at the same time. Let go of the boat. When God sends you a word, don't hold on to what your husband said. Don't hold on to what your mama said. Don't hold on to what your doctor said. Don't hold on to what your lawyer said. Let go of the boat. Don't hold on to what your friends want. Let go. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And that's where a lot of us mess up. We don't walk in faith to go to Jesus. We try to walk in faith to prove something to somebody. Now, I'm all for prosperity. I believe in it. I believe in education. I teach it. We got programs in our church that facilitate it. Somebody say amen. But I ain't much for this Rolex ministry. Amen. Amen. Come on, man. Come on, man. I just ain't much for this Mont Blanc ink pen ministry. Somebody say amen. I believe you can sign your name with a Bic. Timex tells me I got a few more minutes. Didn't need a Rolex to get that through. I don't believe you got to have a Rolls Royce to have faith. I believe you can trust God in a Toyota. Oh, I'm going to go somewhere with this too. Hear me now. I believe you can trust God if you're shopping at the Goodwill. I believe you can shop. I'm telling you, why are you so afraid of what people think about you? Just do what God told you to do. Just go where God told you to go. Just act. If you step out on the boat and you got a shop at the Salvation Army, rejoice. If you step out of the boat and you got to wear a Timex, still rejoice. Somebody say yes. If you step out of the boat and you got to catch a city bus to church, that's all right. As long as you're going to Jesus. As long as you're reaching. I don't know if I got enough time to finish this tonight. When he saw the wind bolstering. And that phrase in the Greek, when he saw, doesn't mean when he visibly saw it. It means when he gave his attention to it. See, it was already there when he stepped out the boat. He stepped out the boat because the wind was there. The wind was there from the beginning. But when he first stepped out, his attention was on the man he saw on the sea. And the word that Jesus spoke to him. Now, y'all got to pay real close attention to this. Because it's not deep, it's just quick. When he's paid attention to the wind, he began to sink. How do you begin to sink on water? How do you begin? Have you almost got wet when you jumped in the pool? You either went down or you didn't go down. He began to sink. You mean he was walking on the water, and then all of a sudden, it just got to his knees or his ankles or his hip or what?
Come on. Glory.
Now, a lot of us criticize Peter, and I guess, you know, when you try to be deep, you can. But But he began to sink. But he had enough time with his fragile faith. He had enough time that when Jesus reached out, he could reach back. It doesn't matter where you have failed in your ability to trust God. You can reach back right now and you don't have to go under. Shake your neighbor's hand and say, you don't have to go under. You can reach back right now. Reach back right now. Reach. Whew. Give me just a little bit longer. After fragile faith, Jesus said, he stretched forth his hand and called him. He said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Little faith, fragile faith. It might not be enough to take you all the way, but it sure will do enough to keep you from going down all the way. See, fragile faith gives you space even at this altar call. Where you don't have to go all the way under to get the miracle. Somebody say amen. You can get what you need before you go under. And then, quickly in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the Bible said, the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent the multitudes away, they took him, they received him, they brought him in to the ship. There were other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat against the ship, so it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, they wake him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the sea and said unto them, peace be still. Said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Hear what I'm telling you. So, they were panicking, and they were fearful. He just jumped up and said, peace. Spoke to them, peace, be still. He spoke to the storm. Pay real attention to this. He spoke to the storm. Because the storm doesn't have a will. The storm had no choice but to obey. Y'all not hearing what I'm talking about, right? When he said, peace, be still. The raging wind had to stop. The raging storm had to stop. Now, why didn't he speak to his people? Peace be still to them. Because you've got the choice. You don't have to walk out of here not believing God in your storm. The Bible said there was a place where he went and he could do no miracles there because of unbelief. No faith. And that's the kind of faith that sees everything in the absolute negative. He speaks to the storm because he can't speak to us. It would have done no good for him to speak to them because they were so full of fear, and fear had torment. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love of sound mind. I'm going to have to close because I know I'm too far into this now. Let me just mention, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus had just been crucified, just been buried. All the hopes and dreams seemed lost, and they were walking, and they were conversing about this. And Jesus walked up and said, what y'all talking about? And they were so caught up in their hurt,
They looked at him and said, don't you know what just happened? Did you hear about it? He said, hear about what? You know, Jesus, who was supposed to be our deliverer. Jesus, who was supposed to be our Messiah. Jesus, who was supposed to deliver us from the hands of Romans. Jesus, who was supposed to be the king coming to deliver us. He was crucified. He broke our heart. He told us he was going to be the one. And he dead himself. How many know we can get so caught up in our hurt? That we build all of our dreams around our hurts. When God wants you to build your dreams on your hopes. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It doesn't matter what you've been through. What the situation looks like. God has never broken a promise. And he rebukes them by calling them fools and slow of heart to believe. Let me tell you why he says that. The word fool means deficient in judgment. Foolish faith. He says, fools mean deficient in judgment. And listen, here's how, and he calls, and the word foolish also means silly. Fools mean deficient in judgment. He said, oh, foolish, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe. Now, here's how foolish their faith was. Why would you trade $1 million for a dollar? In other words, why would you take a dollar and ignore $1 million? Isn't that foolish? It just takes an absolute idiot. If somebody says, here's $1 million and here's a dollar, oh, give me the dollar. It just takes a fool to do that. Just bad judgment. Just ignorant. Ignorant. Why would you choose hell over heaven? I tell you why, because of foolish faith. You are letting what disappointed you direct you. Amen. Oh, I wish I had somebody saying amen. Why do you think people hesitate when an appeal is made? Come to Jesus. Oh, I've been through so much. I've had so many letdowns. They did this before. I've been through this and that. That's foolish. Ain't it foolish? Isn't it foolish that if you got mad at me, you go over and slap Barry Sutton? Wouldn't that be stupid? Amen. Why would you stop believing God when people did you wrong? God has never done anything but good. I wish I had more time. I'm going to quit. And then there was dying faith. Simon, Simon, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. For Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Somebody say failing faith, dying faith. There are things that will happen to you that if you are not careful, you will let your faith die. That's where compromise comes in. You'll start doing worldly things, embracing worldly friends, going in a worldly direction because you've had disappointments in the church. You've had letdowns in the church. You've had letdowns with other Christians. But let me tell you something. I'd rather walk next to a hypocrite, sit next to a hypocrite, sing next to a hypocrite, shout next to a hypocrite, rather than go to hell and burn next to a hypocrite. Somebody say, I ain't going nowhere. My faith ain't going to fail me now. I don't believe he brought me this far just to run off and leave me. I don't believe. And then finally, tell somebody, finally, he was talking to a centurion. And the centurion said, my servant is at home or sick, but I need to see him get healed. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. And the centurion said, you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to give me a physical presence. You don't have to give me chills down my spine. You don't have to give me the frills and the thrills. You don't have to give me visible signs, because I'm a man that understands authority. And when I speak, soldiers move. When I say come, they come. When I say go, they go. And I know I'm a man with great authority, but I'm looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm looking at the one who spoke to the heavens. I'm looking at the one who commands the sea. I'm looking at the one who commands disease. I'm looking at... And if you just say it, if you just say it, I go on home and see my servant well. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I don't need the thrills. I don't need the frills. I don't need the chill bumps. All I need is for Jesus to just say so. Say so, and I'll be healed. Say so, I'll be delivered. Say so, I'll come out. Say so, I'll get my joy. Say so. Can somebody clap your hands? Can somebody lift your voice? Can somebody shout hallelujah? Can somebody shout amen? Say so. Come on and praise them right now. Great faith. Great faith. Great faith. Great faith doesn't need a lot of props. Amen. Great faith doesn't need a lot of support. Great faith don't need a lot of evidence. Great faith just needs to know who they're dealing with. Tell your neighbor, great faith. Jesus said, I've not seen so great faith, not even in Israel. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen this great faith among those to whom I've demonstrated myself. I've shown myself to Israel, going all the way back to the beginning. I've opened seas. I've poured bread down from heaven. I've spewed water out of rocks. I've healed lepers and opened the eyes of the blind, and they still don't see me. Now here you are, a man that barely knows me, and all you said is send the word. Shake somebody's hand and say, don't get used to it. Because if you ever get used to the blessings of God, you will take them for granted. Because every day, his blessings are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. His miracles are new every morning. Raise your hands and say, a fresh touch, a fresh miracle, a fresh new anointing. I need it right now. I need a fresh miracle, a fresh word from God, a fresh divine touch. Say, yeah, Lord. Yeah. If you need the Holy Ghost, don't be foolish and slow to respond. Step out right now and say, here I am. Fill me up. If you need a healing, step out right now and say, here I am. Touch me. If you need strength, step out right now. Let go of the boat and step out in the midst of whatever you're going through and say, here I am. Just send the word. Just send the word. Just send the word. Hey, Lord. Come on. When you come to this altar, come praising. Come worshiping. Come rejoicing. Come declaring. Come proclaiming. Declare the greatness of God. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on, church. Come on, church. We need some prayer warriors. Some believers. We need some great faith. Do you trust them in the storm? Do you trust them in your sickness? Can you trust them in your pain? Can you trust them to heal your yesterdays? Can you trust them to deliver you? To bring you out? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Yeah, Lord. Great faith, great faith, great faith, great faith, great faith. Great faith, great faith. Great faith, great faith, great faith. Great faith. Woo! Hey! Yes! Come on, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You don't need to feel the physical presence. Tonight, if you just trust the Lord right where you are, you don't even need anybody to lay hands on you. Just begin to declare the glory of the Lord, the healings and the miracles of the Lord. Yes. Just say a word. Just say the word. Just say the word. Jesus, say the word. Say the word. Oh. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.